welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Hey, Mark. How we doing?
Hey.
I got a question. Are you feeling the madness? The madness of March?
It's so mad.
Is your bracket busted?
Always. Yeah. Always. I go through life with busted brackets.
Damn. That's sad.
Anyways, before we get into what we watched this week, I'm going to plug the music. And music this month is brought to you by the New York-based alt-instrumentalist group, The No-Shows. There's no, it's just No-Shows. With their song, Getaway. And you can find the links to all their social media accounts, their website. They're doing big things. Give them a like, a follow, subscribe, and let them know how let them know how much you like their music.
We have not been drinking.
You speak for yourself. anyways, check out the No Shows with the song "Getaway," Jeff.
Yeah.
What did we watch this week?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the thick of March Madness, so we're watching basketball movies. And this week we watched Blue Chips from 1994, starring Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway to you.
Excuse me, Penny Hardaway. Matt Naver, not sure how to pronounce that because he wasn't a big enough star in the NBA for me to know.
Ed O'Neal.
Ed O'Neal. No, that I'm not talking about Ed O'Neal. But yes, Ed O'Neal's in this. And then Alfre Woodard, who I recognize, but I wasn't immediately, like, none of her roles came to mind immediately, but I've definitely seen her in other films.
Yeah, she's a...
Oh, she was in Luke Cage, so I've seen that.
How many acting credits does she have? 130.
Ton. Yeah. Yeah, a ton.
She's even nominated for an Oscar. Look at this. Look at this. She's everywhere.
Oh, she's going to be in the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur cartoon? That's awesome. 1984.
She was nominated. Yep. Best actress in a supporting role for her role in Cross Creek.
Never seen it. Have to keep an eye on it.
Sure. It's an 80s movie, so I figured it'd be right up your alley.
You know me, buddy. The older, the better.
Anyways, Jeff, have you ever seen this film?
Nope.
No,
I have not seen Blue Chips. I was mostly familiar with it because, you know, at this point, this is sort of prime NBA time. You know, Jordan is in the thick of doing his thing, and I think maybe the first trilogy of titles he's getting at this point. And, you know, Shaquille O'Neal's just kind of got to Orlando, as well as Penny. And, you know, so I had seen this. I'd seen Shaq in an acting role. I thought he was going to have a much larger role in this movie.
He's very much a role player here.
Yeah, because if you look at the poster, it says Nolte and Shaq. So right. They definitely banked on his notoriety getting this movie going. But he doesn't have a lot to do, which might be there just to hide some of his acting skills, and I think they
I really think he's in. Well, it's hard to say, but I think he's more in the movie for like what you said. He was a huge star coming out of LSU into the Magic, and '94. He had been in the league for what, a season or two?
I will find out.
So, I mean, he is a big name basketball player, at least here. And I think his role in this film is essentially just to move the plot.
And actually do awesome basketball shit. So he got drafted in 92. So this would, when this is filming, he's probably just after his first season.
Yeah. And I think he was Rookie of the Year, and I mean he very clearly was going to be a star from the get go. And so it's no surprise that they put him on the posters because, I mean, man was 7'5" or whatever. And
yeah, build at that.
Yeah, and he just, I mean, dominates. And so NBA really had never seen a big man like Shaq before.
So let's, because we've done this a couple times this month. We talked about the best shooters, and then who is the best center of all time? And then also give me your top, your Mount Rushmore of big men.
Okay. Well, I think Wilt Chamberlain has to be, I think he's got to be one, even though he's probably not one anymore, but he was just so dominant for a long time. He was so ahead of his time, too. He was a scoring big man. I mean, he had handles. He did it all in an era where big men were just essentially rebounders. Shaq, he was just dominate. He dominated from day one, and NBA had never seen a big man like him who could just out-muscle you and then get whatever he wanted. Who else? I think.
Can I help?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So you named the two I would put on there, right? I mean, yeah. Shaq and Wilt would have to be. Is Wilt number one? Probably, but I would put Shaq right there.
I mean, like 1A, 1B, right?
But also Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay.
And I would also put Luol Cinder, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay, yep, Kareem.
That would be my four greatest centers of all time. Then again, you got to think about Tim Duncan, right? But Tim Duncan played the four a lot.
Yeah,
he's kind of a hybrid.
He was a power. Yeah, he was a big man that could shoot, but he was primarily a power forward. Yeah.
But I think if you look at,
I mean, Dwight Howard,
in his day, well, he's not in the same realm as these dudes.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
At his peak in Orlando, he was pretty great.
Yeah,
but
for a long time,
too.
But he
was never on the realm of these four. Not even close.
I mean, he was like the last version of that type of center for that era.
So I would also consider maybe Yao Ming. When he wasn't injured, he was pretty great.
Yeah, he was so tall.
Dikembe Mutombo.
No.
He's
a Dikembe.
That's about it. Dikembe. I love yeah. No. But anyway, I think for sure the Mount Rushmore is Shaq, Wilt, Kareem, and Olajuwon to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's fine. I think you could probably, in the modern era, you could probably put Nikola Vujicic.
Jokic?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the modern stuff. I know Giannis is a guy, but...
But he's not a power... I mean, he's a power forward. He's not a... Yeah. He's not even power. I think he's probably a small forward.
Nah, he plays the four, usually. He's too big to play the three, but anyway... Anyone who likes movies is tuned off now at this point, or exclusively likes movies. So I said I hadn't seen this. Have you seen this?
Before you picked it, I'd never heard of it.
Okay.
And like, so this was on Showtime through Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I watched it.
Me too.
And I had to do the little free trial of the Showtime, but we texted and you said this is by far the most basketball movie we're gonna watch this month.
My quote is: "This is the most basketball film, maybe of all time."
It could
not be. Not just in this month, because let's face it, some of the basketball movies we see, like Air. Is arguably the least basketball movie.
Sure.
Not arguing whether it's basketball, but you almost never see any. There's a handful of scenes where they're playing basketball. With He Got Game, there were some scenes where they played basketball, certainly more than
basketball.
Air. Yeah, a lot of pickup games, though.
Yeah, yeah.
This was like basketball scene after like lots and lots of basketball scenes, and they filled up that, arguably, it's not a huge arena, but it's a decent-sized college arena for the day, probably one of the big ones, and they filled it up for the movie, and it gave you this authenticity that was really great. Like, that crowd was really great, and they played basketball, and there were several moments I was watching this, especially in that final game where they've got all their blue chip athletes and they're playing, and Shaq does some shit where I'm like, oh shit. Like, if I was watching a real basketball game, I'd be getting out of my seat for.
Yeah. Prime Shaq is must see TV.
Yeah. Every time he dunked in this movie, I thought the hoop was coming down.
Right.
Because he does that classic, I don't know how else to describe it, but when he dunks, his lower half like extends as well as his upper half, and he kind of forms the letter C as he's dunking, and it's like he does it to basically put as much force on the rim as possible.
Right.
And there are several points of the movie where I just watching the basketball, I'm like, this is good. This movie made me want to watch basketball again. It's been really since the Sonics have gone away, which was like 2008 or 9, I can't remember, maybe 2010. I haven't been watching it. I just don't care. And watching this, hearing the ball hit the court, watching the hoops, I was just like back in to basketball, at least maybe reliving that golden age of 90s basketball again. So that, regardless of how we feel about the rest of the movie, I think this captures basketball and what makes it good.
Yeah, it's I also really enjoyed the technical aspects of the of basketball in this film. We see Nick Nolte's character as the coach of this Western University here, and he's running practice, and he's got his assistants holding brooms in front of shooters' faces to simulate defenders.
Yeah, I loved that.
And that's a real thing. That's what that's what teams do, because not everybody's fucking 6'11", right?
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the coaching scenes in this film during games where Nick Nolte's drawing up an actual basketball mm-hmm. play, and then he's describing what they need to do on the court. And I was like, man, in basketball games basketball movies that I've seen in the past that have featured actual basketball on the court, we haven't gotten that technical look at.
It's kind of goofy stuff usually. Like, this feels so authentic. Right.
It does. It very much felt authentic from the basketball standpoint. That I really enjoyed that here is because there was a lot of it.
Yeah. And you had Patino and Bobby Knight drawn up plays, and you got to see that. And those are arguably two of the greatest college coaches of all time.
Right.
I don't even think arguably two of the greatest.
They're
two of the
greatest. They're on the Rushmore.
Yeah. Probably. I can't remember the guy who coached UCLA during their whole streak, but he's on there. And then that's it. Just three heads. I don't know. What's his name?
Three-headed mountain.
From Duke. Krzyzewski.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other one.
You know, Dean.
No, Krzyzewski.
No. I'm saying, you know, there's probably it's probably a list of probably six coaches you can put on there. But yeah, two of them are here in this movie, and I wonder, they first showed Patino, and I was like, is that stock footage? And it wasn't, and I was happy.
Yeah,
I was happy that it wasn't stock footage, because it would have been very easy for them to get footage of Patino or Bobby Knight at an actual game and just splice it into the movie, but they didn't. And So it gives the movie more authenticity.
And you need that because this movie suffers from one of the things that He Got Game suffer from is they couldn't use real colleges until the final. For some reason, they could use Indiana. I don't know why, which is the team that Bobby Knight actually coached back then.
Right.
And they were wearing their Hoosier uniforms, and that was very authentic. I don't know why that was allowed. I understand why Nick Nolte's team had to be fictional because none of the other universities probably wanted to be associated with, cheating, which is what the movie ends up being about. But Patino was on some team we never heard of, and what would have been great is if this movie had crossed over and they had to play against Big State and Ray Allen was on the team, but we didn't get that. I would have been on board.
The fucking basketball cinematic universe. So from the story standpoint here, and we should give a brief synopsis, is that Nick Nolte coaches Western University, and they're a middling program.
They have had a lot of success.
But now they're a middling program, and they have a new donor, booster or whatever. And Nick Nolte gives in to going and recruiting players with money to come play for his team. And so he goes out and gets Penny Hardaway and Shaq. And one of the better basketball scenes in the film is Shaq playing pickup and just dominating.
In the underground league or whatever that was.
Right.
Didn't you feel like that was ripped right out of like Rambo 3 when he's doing the boxing match underground? I loved that though, because it was just Shaq just destroying everyone. So I was here for that. Because as I mentioned last week, I fucking love Shaq.
Well, and then, he's going out and he's getting a dude who plays basketball on a grass field and on a farm. And
now that was a real basketball player too. Like we obviously recognize Penny and Shaq. So that guy's name is Matt Nover. He had a little, definitely nowhere near the excess of Penny and Shaq or really anyone, but he had like a middling NBA career and played overseas a lot, but he was a real basketball player too.
See, the more you know. What do you think of Nick Nolte here?
I love Nick Nolte in this movie.
I love Nick Nolte in most movies though. So,
I mean, he's kind of become like the butt of a joke after that famous, mugshot came out. You remember that with the wine shirt?
Yeah, I just feel like he's, especially in the 80s and a little bit in the 90s, he played the angry guy.
Yeah.
He plays the angry guy very well.
He kicks ass in this movie. Like, he's really well casted to me.
I do think that his character is like a kind of a ripoff of Bobby Knight. I think
Bobby Knight was more problematic than this guy was. Like, I mean, I think anytime you see an angry coach, you think Bobby Knight.
Right.
So, I mean, that's probably fair, but I don't think it was like hammering too hard on the Bobby Knight thing. Cause there was a lot of time spent with him caring about his players and stuff like that.
Well, I think Bobby Knight probably cared about his players.
I wasn't in the locker room, but I guess he was more known for all the anger and violence and chairs.
Yeah, he was known for his on court antics, which is kind of what Nick Nolte does here too in the beginning of the movie. But I do think the movie suffers from the formulaic good guy gets down and then has to. He has to cheat his way to the top, and then he gets to the top, and then he's like, you know what? That was fucked up. I'm gonna quit. I mean, it's formulaic, but the movie is enjoyable enough, and like Ed O'Neill plays a reporter.
Why did, like they? I guess it might have been cheap, but He wasn't as cheap as a nobody, which you could have cast in that role. That guy has like four lines.
Yeah, but he's recognizable. Yeah. When was Married with Children on?
The character's name was Ed.
Yeah.
Genius.
I did. You know, it's just this film is more basketball than anything else. It's not. I mean, the message is okay, I guess, with you know, Nick Nolte. You know, at the end, having this. It's not even a revelation. It's just like he knows that he cheated his way to the top. And I don't know. There's no redemption arc for Nick Nolte, but
I think there is.
There is.
So the whole thing is that he's got integrity, right? Everyone else in the league is changing, where everyone is paying kids under the table, bribing parents to get them to commit to schools and stuff like that. And Nick Nolte refuses to do it, and it sort of cost his program, right? And then so eventually he caves into the pressure, and he starts to feel bad about it. His team ultimately becomes successful. They beat the number one team in the nation in Indiana, but it rings hollow to him because I cheated to get here. Now, I think the other side of that argument is all of the teams cheated to get there, right? Like if he's the reason they're not successful is because he's not doing the things that everyone else is doing, then everyone else is cheating as well. So it was kind of a, like, I get the message, but there's also a lot of the parts where they talk about, I think maybe it was even the ultimate villain in this film was talking about how the kids are being taken advantage of. Like, we make millions of dollars off of these kids. And they don't get anything. I mean, they get their free education, but that's not anything compared to the money we're making off of them. And that's true, right? And nowadays, in our current day, you have the name, image, likeness.
Yeah.
And they can make money now. So part of me sides with the bad guy. But it's like, to me, I'm like, what we've got is billionaires being cheap and then breaking the rules to get the money to get these kids that they don't actually want to pay what they deserve. And so part of me is like, I'm kind of like, if Nick Nolte took the stance of, I'm going to now change the way I do this because the entire nation is doing this and it's fairer to the kids, I think he's still the good guy, right? I don't think, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, him accepting it and owning it, to me, makes a lot of sense. But he doesn't, and it does, because of that, it does jeopardize his integrity because he does lie about it. He tells his ex-wife, who he's got a romantic thing for still, that he's not cheating, and he is. And that kind of jeopardizes his integrity, and he ends up hating the game and all of that stuff. So at the end of the movie, He kind of blows up the whole thing and says, hey, yeah, we did pay these kids and that guy's doing it over there and we're at fault and I quit. And then he coaches some little kids outside. And that's like I love basketball again, right? The whole thing was, we've ruined basketball. I love basketball, but we've ruined it. And at the end of the day, the coda at this film, which I think is ridiculous, and I'll get to that in a second, says that he coaches a high school basketball team. Now, my problem with there being a coda at the end of this movie, and that's the words at the end that tell you where all the characters ended up, I really only want that in based on a true story movies.
Right, right.
Films like Air, where, okay, I want to know where these people are now. Or something like another movie, Can't Hardly Wait, which is a blatantly fictional. It's completely a comedy and it's just being goofy having the coda, and that's fine. But in this, when it happens, I'm like, wait, what? So is this based on a real character that they had to change? So I went and looked it up and it's not based on shit. And I was like, why do we need this message to tell us what's happening to all these other fictional characters in this fictional world when you could just let the movie end? It was annoying, but a minor gripe.
Yeah. I thought one of the better scenes in this film was the scene where Shaq's in whatever college class that he got put in.
Yeah.
And he says something, and the professor's like, hey, why are you in this class? And he's like, I don't know. They just put me here.
Yeah. Did and you like I went, the whole gag of Shaq being really smart?
Yeah. You know, it's...
Listen, I love Shaq. And he is actually pretty intelligent. But back in those days, I mean, he was caught on TV misspelling period. But...
It's a hard word. It's a hard word. A lot of syllables in period.
Okay. You must have gone to Western University.
Got a full ride. They even got me a Lamborghini.
Oh.
No, I just...
That one guy got a tractor. He should have pushed for more. One lady got a new job in a high-rise building and a house. And dude got a tractor?
Yeah.
Psh, I'd be pissed.
Well, I mean, there's levels.
What's that
to...
tractor worth, you think? What, like a John Deere tractor back then, a 20,000 maybe? You know, the house she got was probably in that day's money 60,000-70,000, I'm guessing. And that high rise job where she has a corner office, she's making 100,000 a year or something. I don't know.
Listen, we came for the basketball.
Yeah,
we got more than we bargained for, but these types of films that are kind of just out there, and you have to be in the doing a podcast like this in order to watch it. I would never have watched this movie had it not been for this theme.
Yeah, because it came out in the 90s.
Well, regardless, if I had seen this on a streaming platform while I was scrolling to watch something, I wouldn't have stopped.
Would you have stopped for another basketball film?
Yeah, probably.
So why would you keep scrolling on this one?
One, Nick Nolte is not the draw for me, right? I have no desire to watch Nick Nolte as a leading man. And two, it's, you know, I'm assuming what picture they would use on a streaming platform for this film, and actually don't remember what picture they used on.
Yeah, because we had to watch it either way.
Right. But I mean, it probably, if they used the poster here, it probably wouldn't have drawn me in. I don't know. It's just not, it's not something that I would have sought out if I wasn't trying to watch this movie on purpose. You know, it has nothing to do with Nick Nolte other than I'm just, you know, he's not the draw for me. I mean, I think he's a very capable actor. And in the stuff that I have seen him in, he's been pretty good. He's just not somebody that I, who was the villain in the first Lethal Weapon?
I don't know. Oh. I haven't seen it in so long.
Or maybe it was Lethal Weapon 2. The guy,
Pesci?
No.
Pesci was in one of those.
Yes, but he's not the villain. No, the That's guy with the big
so
teeth.
It's been so long since I've seen any of them.
The guy with the big teeth.
Crazy Busey?
Guy. Busey. Yeah. I get him and Nick Nolte mixed up sometimes.
You're not the only one. That has been something that's happened my entire life. Like, I think that's really common.
Which is bad, is because they don't really look alike, but I mean,
they kind of do. They're crusty old white guys. They're about the same age, probably. Although one of them looks way more deranged than the other.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Gary Busey.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. There's nothing else to say about this film.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. It was immensely entertaining to me. I do want to make a brief mention of Mary McDonald. She was in this. I didn't know who she was. She looked familiar, and I looked it up, and she was in the recent series, The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, which I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's where she's from. But I mean, I really had fun watching this movie. It really enjoyable. It was funny. The basketball was awesome. The atmosphere of the stadium, it felt pretty good.
So do you recommend it?
I mean, no, but in the realm of basketball movies, yes. Like in the realm of all movies, you probably can go on with the rest of your life. But in a, as a basketball film, it's pretty great.
I love one of the alternate movie posters for this film. Has the names Nolte and Shaq in bigger letters than the actual title of the movie.
Which yeah.
is wild.
Shaq was a draw, man.
Yeah,
did
no,
you like the scene where the Shaq goes to the kindergarten school.
Yeah, he picks up,
throws kids around.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty good.
I love how he comes out and like at the end of the movie where after Nick Nolte quits and he's walking out of the locker room and Shaq pops out and the motherfucker is like so large.
Yeah, he has to duck to get under the door.
Yeah, it's. I mean.
He's charismatic in this movie. I thought I really like Shaq in this movie.
No, and he's charismatic in all the films he's done. He's not a listen. He's not a good actor, but he's Shaq not Monk? Also no, God no. He's not terrible though. He's not Ray Allen bad.
Yeah, he does a better job than Ray Allen did, and he got game for yeah. sure. What'd you think about Larry Bird showing up? For a scene.
This is all random.
Just Larry Bird.
Yeah, there's Larry. Oh, never see him again in this
and
movie.
And I'm wondering, is he going to play Larry Bird? And yep, he's playing Larry Bird.
As the credits roll, all the credits of themselves.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're in a 90s movie.
I enjoyed the themselves. What about you? What do you think?
As a basketball film, it's fine, right? I too enjoyed the basketball moments, which there were a lot. And I appreciate that as far as, you know, March Madness month goes. Nick Nolte, he's I can't say he's charismatic in this film, but he's entertaining.
He yells a lot.
Yeah. he sure enough does. But and I just like he pontificates a lot.
I don't know
movie.
If that word means what you think it means. I don't know what it means, but I'm going to look it up.
I imagine it means he stands in front of a large group of people and just preaches to them. I'm assuming that's what that word means.
To express opinions or judgments in a dogmatic
yep.
way.
Yep. That's it. That's it.
It also means an office. Like, not an office building, but like if you hold
right,
an office.
Right. The pontificate office.
To perform a duty of a pontiff, but pontificate opinions or judgments in a dogmatic way.
But, no, I mean, he gives, like, and it's passionate. Like, it's passionate monologues.
Like, at the beginning, he just keeps leaving and coming back.
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's almost like Friedkin, the director of this film. Told him, hey man, just yell about some shit. And they just let him go. Let's let him go. He's just yelling.
Yeah.
And poor Ed O'Neill is sitting there asking, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this, and he just like gets his fucking head chewed off.
I was fine with it.
No, I'm not gonna recommend it because our recommendations have to mean something, but as a basketball film, It's pretty good. It's probably a little on the long side. I did notice that like this movie's still going. Wow. But you know, probably didn't need to be that long. But at the end of the day, it's if you're looking for a basketball movie, you can do a lot worse.
Yeah. But next week.
Yeah.
We're going to watch The Way Back. Now, there are a lot of movies called The Way Back. I got a little confused. There's one in the desert. That ain't it. We're watching one with Ben Affleck from 2020. Since it's from 2020, you know which of the two of us picked it.
Yep.
And it's directed by Gavin O'Connor, stars Ben Affleck, and no other major names that I can tell.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's...
I think there's a lot of basketball players.
I don't see one basketball player.
Not notable basketball players.
Yeah, probably not.
But
no, I mean it's a guy about a former basketball star that takes a job at his high school and coaches him up.
Yeah. Sounds good. So, we haven't even talked about what we're going to do for April theme wise. We'll do that off pod. Yeah. That'll be draft week as well.
That's a hell of a teaser.
Well, we don't know. It's not a teaser. Right. We don't know. How can we spoil it if we don't know what it is?
I you're right. You're correct. Thanks. Anyways, we have to plug the music again. And the music this month is brought to you by the band No Shows with their song Getaway. Be sure to hit the show notes, get links to their social media accounts, give them a like, follow, subscribe. We appreciate them. Allow us to use their music here on our podcast. And if you want to follow the podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, you can find us at Movie Draft House. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube where you're watching us. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content right here on our channel. And if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey, man, it's okay to watch basketball again. Yes, you can find him at Podcast by Jeff.
Thank you. And if you want to get in touch with Mark and let him know that Shaquille O'Neal won the Razzie for 1995 for Worst New Star for his role in Blue Chips, you can find him
really?
At I Heard You Liked on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yeah, and it's not fair because
that's fucked up.
There's no way he was the worst actor in a film in 1994. There's just no way. Like, because he's barely in the movie enough. Like, Ray Allen was in that movie, He Got Game Enough, where I would be fine with this, right? Because he had to carry the movie and he just isn't the caliber of actor. He's a basketball player. It's not really his normal job. But Shaq is in this movie. He does a good enough job for what he's given. He's charismatic, and he does basketball for most of the movie.
Right.
Really unfair. The Razzies are bullshit.
The Razzies all... There's a lot of years where the Razzies give their award to the same film or actor or actress that gets an Oscar. So I don't know. I don't know who to believe.
So one year, they gave Helen Mirren a Razzie for her role in Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Now, that movie might be shit.
That's
but
Dame
there's no
Helen
chance
Mirren
in hell
you.
That Helen Mirren was the worst actress in a film that year.
Right.
No
correct.
Chance.
No chance.
It's Helen Mirren. She could fart. Helen Mirren. And it'd be amazing.
Hey, no, it's...
Okay, listen.
Tabs.
It's getting into my search history way too much.
Listen, Helen Mirren in the day. And that day wasn't too long ago. Should be on a tab. Should
oh,
be
yeah.
on a tab. I'm just saying. Should be on a tab.
I wouldn't even go for that far back. Like, maybe a week. Anyway. One time I would say they gave Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey a Razzie, which is fucking absolutely.
That movie was horseshit.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It is terrible. And getting a sequel. We'll catch y'all next week when we review The Way Back. And it's also draft night, so be sure you tune in. Jeff, any last words?
Nope. See you next week.
Hold up. I tell myself that it's real. missing what I know I can't keep. When I'm trying to grasp a feeling, lose the things that I need and the things that I see. I can't let them go free, but reality is something I dream.